Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show On the Mark. It is the last week of January 2019, January 28th. We got 337 days to go in the year, 28th day of the year. I'm Mark Lawrence. Our fabulous producers on the other side of the glass, who's doing a wonderful job today, taking good care of us in every conceivable way. And I'll tell you what, the man across from me, Papa, as he's called by one of his grandsons and soon by the other, he is Mr. Joe McGranahan, mayor of Shamokin Dam. He's the head of something, I'm sure, somewhere, but not global tsunami response, right?
No, I stopped that a while back.
He gave that up.
Yeah, well, there were too few tsunamis to make it worth my while.
Okay. All of this.
I'm looking for some bigger disaster to take.
What's the group that you were on? I don't have the note in front of me.
I was administrative chairman of the Pennsylvania Emergency Communications Committee.
Right. And as a result, I always exaggerated that he was the head of PEMA. Well, eventually I promoted him to FEMA, then Global Emergency Responses, and now he was recently in charge of the Tsunami Prevention Detection Department of the UN, but now he's back to, he gave that up.
Yeah, my big idea was to start naming the tsunamis. Like winter storms.
Yeah, we don't name.
I
mean, we don't name earthquakes either.
Well, that was next on my list.
Okay, what's it? All right, so that's Mr. Joe McGranahan, who's across from me. But again, calling him Papa is his favorite title. I don't know what he's going to call me now. On the Mark sponsor.
Oh, I have a few choice ones.
I'm sure. On the Mark sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. And we also have the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, which is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And the toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect yet, it's a very simple way for us to notify you via cell phone or text whenever there is a major breaking story, whether it's a local breaking story that would have an impact on your life or a massive national story, dead celebrities, major road closures around here, tornadic weather on the way. That's what goes out via Text Connect. So we send the message to you. We don't sell your phone number to anybody else. We don't send you any commercials. It's just an opportunity for us to notify you that there's a story that's evolving, a little link. If it impacts you and you want to follow up, click on the link. And if it doesn't have too much impact on you and you don't want to get too many of the details about it, just you're just better off knowing that which is in the text, and that will be sufficient. Well, that's fine. So, but 70236 is the number. It's Text Connect. You can sign up at WKOK.com, and we'd love to have you be a member of the Text Connect system. Mr. Joe McGranahan, were you watching the Today Show yesterday when Tom Brokaw's...
It wasn't Today. It was Meet the Press.
Oh, Meet the Press. I'm sorry. Which was on WKOK yesterday.
Yeah. Well, did you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Tom Brokaw apparently stepped in it. Says the NBC News special correspondent and former NBC Nightly News anchor Tom Brokaw received scathing backlash Sunday for remarks he made on a Meet the Press segment about Hispanic assimilation. Brokaw, 78, made his remarks during a panel panel discussion about the fight for a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. He said, quote, on the Republican side, a lot of people see the rise of an extraordinary, important new constituent in American politics, Hispanics, who will come here and all be Democrats, he said. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, quote, well, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies. I mean, that's also a part of it. It's the intermarriage that is going on and the cultures that are conflicting with each other, he added. Brokaw went on to say, I also happen to believe that the Hispanics should work harder at assimilation. That's one of the things I've been saying for a long time. You know, they ought to not just be codified in their communities, but make sure that all their kids are learning to speak English and that they feel comfortable in the communities. And that's going to take outreach on both sides, frankly. His comments quickly drew harsh reactions on Twitter, with many decrying what he had said.
Well, he apologized if he offended anybody. He's not sorry that he feels that way or that he said it. He's just sorry if he offended anybody.
And one of his detractors was translating his statement. They translated it to, I'm truly sorry I said that out loud. I usually keep my bigotry inside my head. Your response tells me
I'm sorry. I laughed out loud so loud I'm afraid somebody might not have heard that.
Okay.
Read the translation
this
again.
This is what one person translated his statement as meaning. I'm truly sorry I said that out loud. I usually keep my bigotry inside my head. Your response tells me I've revealed too much, and I'm sorry I offended you. I wish I could say it, but you wouldn't, and that you wouldn't be offended, so I wouldn't have to hide that part of me. But, you know,
that is funny.
It's Frank speaking.
The translation is funny.
Before his fall from grace, Bill Cosby used to speak a lot about the need in the black community for fatherhood roles and, you know, family responsibility. And he was widely criticized for that. And, you know, I don't see anything wrong.
For the generalizations of it?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
You know, I think the part about the brown babies was a little over the edge. But, you know, encouraging Hispanics to assimilate into the communities, I don't see anything wrong with that. And I've said before, I think everybody in this country should learn English if for no other reason than safety.
Well, and I listened to Tom's remarks and I thought, oh my gosh, he's channeling Joe McGranahan. The assimilation part, not the brown babies or the other part. The other part, I think, is more indefensible, but that just makes it clear how he really feels. And so that's just revealing.
Wasn't saying, it was his opinion. He was saying that he pushed other people on you know, how they felt about the large numbers of Hispanics coming into the country from Mexico and south of the border. And he says that's what they told him. Now, repeating that, does that make him a racist, or does that make the people who told him that a racist, or do you believe nobody actually told him that? That's what he said and what he thinks.
So now he's saying that people told him, people who came over
he
the border told him that we're not assimilating enough.
No. That's not what he said. He said, went on, I also happen to believe, well, wait a second, here it is. Also, I hear when I push people a little harder, quote, well, I don't know whether I want brown grandbabies.
Yeah,
you know, he's pushed other people to explain why they feel the way they do about the Hispanic migration into this country, and that's one of the things they supposedly told him. That's not a direct quote from him. He's supposedly quoting others.
All right. So he's quoting other people saying they don't want brown grandbabies.
That's part of the issue.
All right. They don't want intermixed marriages. So he's quoting other people.
Well,
okay.
He was saying that the cultures are colliding, you know, that... You know, I think if you said, well, what we need to do is get everybody together and fade out. That was one of the things, I think, back in the 60s when interracial marriages first started happening, that many black people felt that they were going to be faded out by intermingling with white people. You know, should you be proud of your culture? Sure you should. I don't see anything wrong with being black, Hispanic, white, Native American, whatever you want to be. And I think,
well, you like people to become bilingual if they speak another language when they arrive, right?
Well, yeah, I think it would be helpful if everybody spoke English in this country, just from a safety standpoint. I've discussed that with you before. We have so many instances of people who tell us when stopped by our police that they can't read the signs. You know, that the
Russian truckers and Hispanic neighbors, whatever it happens to be.
I've said to you before, the FCC wants us to give emergency announcements in more than one language. But by the time we get down to the fifth or sixth language, you may already be dead. So it's a safety issue to make sure that everybody speaks the same language here in this country. I don't see anything wrong with that. Do you?
One of our listeners sends a text that says, what do you mean by Spanish neighbors? I mean people who speak Spanish, not individuals
Hispanic,
who are from Spain.
Spanish
speakers.
Well,
they may be Hispanic, but they speak primarily Spanish language.
Well, I think everybody should have more than one language. Didn't
nice,
you study
nice,
a foreign
nice try, she says.
Didn't you study more than one language in school? I had five years of Spanish.
Three, German and Spanish, and that's it. And French when I was in elementary school.
Oh, my gosh. You were exposed to quite a few languages.
I have forgotten some of the world's most romantic languages. No Italian yet.
Well, I took Spanish because I felt there were a lot of people, you know, who were in this country who spoke Spanish, and I should be able to at least have some familiarity with what they're saying. So I took it in high school. And fortunately, after I got out of high school, I had a friend of mine that I worked with on another project who came from Cuba, and I got a chance to speak to him in Spanish to keep it up a little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, now I don't think I could order some food in Spanish, but not certain how far I could go.
You've always been worried about assimilation. Is that that's where you and Tom Brokaw agree, that individuals who are coming to the U.S. aren't interested in assimilating into conventional American culture?
If you come here and you don't want to assimilate, why did you come here?
I don't know.
What is there about
opportunity?
All right. And how do you get opportunity? You have to be able to speak the language the people who have the opportunities are speaking. If I went to India, for example, to improve my economic condition, I would certainly learn the language that the people there spoke.
Well, I think individuals who come to this country start to learn English. Give me the example of people who come to the U.S. that won't learn any English.
Well, I don't know that they deliberately set out not to learn it, but what's the motivation?
To learn English?
Yeah. In other
words, I don't know. Read the signs comes to mind.
Right.
My friend tells me about that one.
You would think that would be enough, wouldn't you? That would be a reason why you would want to learn.
I think it's a myth.
Assimilation isn't just language. It's, you know, if you maintain, well, for example, for years there have been Chinatowns, Little Italies. You know, what's the point of that? If you come here, you come here to be a member of the United States of America, I would think.
Well, I think a Little Italy celebrates the best. Like if you go to the Italian market in South Street in Philadelphia, I think you end up with an observance and celebration of what's the best from the assimilated culture. But those people speak English.
Oh, I know they do, yes.
And same with Chinatown. You can find English speakers in Chinatown. So I think it's there to observe. Oh. I think you are promulgating a Fox News myth that Hispanics in the country don't want to assimilate.
No,
I don't think it's true.
I'm not saying people don't want to assimilate, and I don't think Tom Brokaw was saying that. I think he was saying that they should increase their efforts to assimilate.
They're not far enough along in his view.
Well, I mean, let's face it. What do we do to help them assimilate?
All right. Let's ask our audience.
What do you think we do to help?
What do we do?
I'm not saying it's all on them.
What does this country do to help?
Yes. In other words, when we bring you here, we let you in. I think this is another good argument for legal immigration. When you come to this country, I believe we should be helping you learn the language that we speak, learn our customs and the things we do here. Let's face it, English is not an easy language to learn when you get into idioms.
Our whole country is set up to help you.
Now, how?
Well, you see English as a second language classes in schools and offer it in the community.
How does that help the adults?
There are four adults. It's adult education. Well, yeah, it's definitely English as a second language is offered in schools. That's been going on
probably since
the 70s. But, even when you were in school, was there anybody doing English as specifically laid out as English? Okay, so then, and you graduated, that would be 60-something?
61.
61, okay. So by the time I was in high school, there were English as a second language classes for students. So, and they are available for adults in our community. That's one thing that we do to go out of our way to assimilate. I think a lot of products in the U.S. have Spanish as a second language that's on the labels of them. But
will you even go to
assimilation isn't the motive of the company that does that.
You go to Lowe's.
Money.
You go to Lowe's and you can read the aisle signs in Spanish or English.
Okay.
You know, and so that would indicate that there are a lot of people for whom English is not an option in this area.
Well, yeah, maybe they're not as good at it yet. But I think, you know, a lot of people who speak English and go overseas and see the multiple translations that are on most of the signage there look at what the English word is and then look at the French word so that they can learn it. You know, I assume some people do that in the U.S., or yes, definitely some people do that in the U.S. Well, let's get our audience involved in this. You and I, this is sort of
a
conversation.
What do you think, Tom Brokaw? Do you think he should be chastised for what he said, or is what he said legitimate?
Well,
I think it's worth discussing.
Well, it's real for him, what he said. You know, he thinks people don't assimilate enough. Let's get our audience involved. Right. I think Tom Brokaw is speaking his truth. So, the translator that says, I inadvertently spoke the truth. I'm sorry if I offended you. Let's get the audience involved. 1-800-795-9565 is our Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can do as no one has done this week, and that's email us at onthemark@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. We are talking about Hispanics and assimilation. Okay?
Well, we're talking about Tom Brokaw's comments on that subject.
All right. Al, first in on the week. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hanging in.
Hey, and back in the early 30s sometime, they closed the whole immigration because of assimilation. It had to catch up. Everybody was talking different languages, and if I don't know the stats, but I know it happened for a long time, from the, I think in the 30s sometime to the 60s, where they cut back on immigration for the purpose of assimilation. And we're one of the few countries that don't have a national language designated. And it's another push that just gets lost in because they can't go work together. I mean, there's a lot more important things, and assimilation is one of those important things that are going to get lost in all this. But if one of your stat checkers can check that. But the immigration was, and I think that's the way it read, immigration was limited because of need of assimilation.
Assimilation is something that we wanted, wasn't happening sufficiently, so we slowed immigration so that we could kind of...
They could get caught up. It could get caught up to itself.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, having said that, so what? Is what Tom Brokaw said wrong? I mean, these are his true feelings.
No, I think it's just the truth, and everybody's afraid of the truth these days. Just like they're going to sign in New York... papers the day that you can have an abortion right up to your due date. Everybody knows that's wrong. And people are just taking sides, and they're not doing their job that we sent them there to do. It's a real mess. There's a lot more important things than fighting over a barrier. And
yet people were standing behind.
Said, and,
people were standing behind Governor Cuomo cheering when he signed that bill.
Well, that's ridiculous, and he had a pink tie on. The man is pure evil. I mean, there's no other way to say it in my record, you know, in my look at the world. That was just pure evil, what they're going to do. You don't kill children. And that's what they are. And they can call it by any other name they want, but it is murder. And I called in with the stat of 332, 278, and that was, I knew that at the time. I didn't want to say it because why would you say, and that's good because that's only half of what it was the year before. Neither one of the numbers are any good.
Okay.
It's just a shame what we put ourselves through and for the need of approval from others. And then they ought to just do what they're sent to Washington to do And the same with the guys. Do your job. I mean, all us other Americans get out and do our job every day. We elected them to do a job. Brokaw's supposed to give you the news. If they would just do their job, there wouldn't be time for fighting and carrying on. They'd be getting something done.
Well, after you're a journalist for 50 years, you become an expert on a lot of topics, so you get invited to give your opinion on these, and that's what happened. Well, and plus, he's not in the news anymore. All right, thank you so much, Al.
Thanks, Al.
Really appreciate the call. Cindy, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Wasn't Mr. Brokaw stating what other people have told him?
Yes.
I don't understand what's the backlash against him. This would be like if I said something that people felt was untoward and so they came after you, Mark. I don't understand because you've allowed me to say this. You know, I thought he was reflecting what he had been told. That doesn't make him a racist to state what someone else has said to him. I don't follow the distress about that.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I want to go to the assimilation.
Let me stop you real quick. I don't think he's getting a lot of grief about the things where he's quoting other people. People don't like his remark. The most they don't like is when he said about what he feels about Hispanics assimilating in the U.S. That's what's prompted the most backlash. Quoting other people actually didn't seem to cause too much of a dilemma. That's where they say he inadvertently spoke the truth when he said that Hispanics don't assimilate, which, of course, people who are informed on this say isn't a true statement,
opinion. I'm sure that some Hispanic people, I'm sure that some people who immigrate to this country assimilate. I also am confident that some choose not to. And I think about it is a continuum from living here, speaking the language of your homeland and trying to get by that way versus people who embrace everything about America and totally assimilate. And there's no doubt that is a continuum, not an either or. You know, today, unfortunately, people like to paint things as black and white, and they don't consider the fact that it isn't that way, that very few things are actually that way in our lives. But I ask myself this. You can vote only if you're a citizen. To become a citizen, you have to learn English. So explain to me then, if that's true, why in some communities does the federal government require you to print the ballot in other languages?
To become a U.S. citizen, you have to speak English?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
I don't know that they give the test, but you have to pass a citizenship test, which includes questions, quite a few questions about American history.
Oh. You have to speak English. That is one of the criteria. So, why does it... I agree with Joe, and the implications of a lack of a common language are enormous. And they go far beyond, you know, just Twitter-pating on the radio. For example, if you don't speak English and you come to a hospital, what do you expect to have happen? If you don't speak, now in schools, in public schools, we mandate all those costs onto the public schools and then onto the local taxpayers to provide all this stuff in your native language. Well, that sounds hunky-dory and perhaps achievable if it's a single language, but it's not. Here, when I was on the board in Selinsgrove, there were 20 languages. Now, is it rational to expect that the school is prepared to teach people in 20 languages? I don't think so, in the most resourced place on Earth, let alone in a rural area. It has implications in the judicial system. When people are here and they don't speak English and they run into a problem, they get arrested, they end up in court, who does that problem fall back on? The local citizens have to provide translators, have to provide an attorney with the facility to communicate with the person. So they have to provide a translator to tell the person what's going on in court. So there's enormous complexity if we're going to say that we're not going to have a common language. There's an enormous complexity that we bind up all these agencies, services, organizations in trying to be all things to all people. And I just don't think that's rational to do that. It's far simpler to ask, a group of people to participate in learning it. Now, do I expect you to speak English in a year? No, I don't expect you to speak English fluently in a year. But I do ask you this question. If you have to speak English to become a U.S. citizen, and that is the law, and you have to be a citizen to vote, then why does the federal government force some communities to produce ballots in multiple languages?
Yeah, good point,
Cindy. Because you couldn't have gotten there unless you could speak English in the first place. Oh. And just think about the ballot is 90% names.
Right. And those names that aren't there, well, the ballot only has about, you know, 100 words on it altogether, most of which are names, but the other ones are U.S. Senator,
offices,
local constable, mayor of Shamokin Dam.
Right, but if you had to learn English, if you have reached the rank in our group that you're a citizen, you're a certified club member, why would I be making all of these extraordinary exceptions? Why would we do that? Because your criteria for joining was that you had to speak English to begin with. Why wouldn't we
do some people
that you could use that?
And there's no Spanish, no test given in Spanish to become a U.S. citizen.
No, because you have to speak English.
Nobody gets a pass on that. Okay.
I don't believe that.
All right. Enough said.
Thank you.
Listen, thank you so much. Appreciate the call. We're talking about Tom Brokaw's remarks that Hispanics don't assimilate sufficiently in his view, and there's a lot of obligation to speak some English if you're going to be in the U.S. So that's what we're talking about. We'll continue that conversation. And I learn something new every day. You have to take the test in English to become a U.S. citizen. Good information. This is WDKOK Sunday.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is here. Rob Sander is here. We got open phones. The Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. That's the toll-free line sponsored by Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Norrie Pharmacy, the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, and the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy. I think I said them all. You're welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, the show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. And you can text us at 70236. Some brief news headlines. More accumulating snow is in the valley's forecast this week, and that'll be followed by more frigid temperatures. AccuWeather says we can see 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow. Snow squalls are also in the forecast Wednesday afternoon. All of this will be followed by sub-zero temperatures during the overnight and temperatures barely getting out of the single digits during the day. Fire heavily damaged the transition shelter in Shamokin Sunday morning. All of the occupants and staff got out safely. The fire broke out around midnight. Susan Mathias, executive director of the Regional Transitions Organization, said the blaze at their Shamokin house substantially damaged the first floor. Cause is not known and is not suspicious. Damages are being assessed now. Northumberland County Communications says volunteers from Shamokin, Coltmont, Mount Carmel and Cole Township were there quickly. Going forward, Mathias tells us they are currently inspecting the building and will know soon about the repairs or replacement of the home. She says anybody interested in helping transitions through this transition can go to their donate page at transitionsofpa.org. In the current political climate, it's hard to imagine middle ground can be achieved on any of the issues facing us in 2019. The Better Angels organization is up to the challenge. Karen Ward is part of the organization and told us on the Mark last week, Better Angels can help.
We are totally divided in politics in this country, and it just seems to be getting worse pretty much by the day. And this is an opportunity to relate to our fellow citizens and have a constructive conversation.
You can get more information about the Better Angels organization Red Blue Workshop, to which Joe is invited next month, February 23rd at the Central Susquehanna Valley Mediation Center in Sealands Grove. The event will have light refreshments. To register, contact Karen Ward, and we have her email at WKOK.com. Finally, Duke University's Medical School has issued an apology and launched a review after an administrator admonished students over speaking Chinese in a school building. Megan Neely, who serves as a graduate studies director in the biostatistics master's program, wrote in an email Friday urging students to commit to using English in the building housing the program. She said in the message to an email list for the program students that two faculty members came to her to complain about students speaking loudly in Chinese in a common area. She wrote that both were disappointed the students weren't working to improve their English and wanted to write down the names so they could remember them if the students were interviewed for an internship or asked to work for them on a master's project. And of course, this erupted into a massive allow the individuals from China to speak China as long as they are in the process of learning English. Are you happy now they're learning English?
Right, but you know, she was trying to help them, I think. Her intentions were good. Maybe the way she did it wasn't so hot. But
well, yeah, I don't think she speaks for the whole university asking all the individuals.
But should she be fired? Should she be demoted? Should she have stepped down for saying that I think it would be helpful if you practiced your English here while you're in this country?
I don't think they said anything has happened to her. The school itself issued
an
apology.
She stepped down.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed that in this. You have another
under
page.
Pressure.
Yeah, this
yes.
is an AP version. You have a different version.
I have a different version of it. And the head. Let's see where. What's the headline? The headline is, Duke University professor steps down over speak English email. A Duke University professor stepped down Saturday after sparking outrage over an email that encouraged her Chinese students to improve their English by committing to speaking it 100% of the time. Megan Lee Neely, an assistant professor of biostatistics and bioinformatics, reportedly emailed the students Friday in response to complaints by two of her colleagues who said they were disappointed that the students were not taking the opportunity to improve their English. Neely encouraged the students to commit to using English 100% of the time on campus and in professional settings and to keep these unintended consequences in mind when you choose to speak Chinese, according to the university's paper. Screenshots of the email exchange made the rounds on social media and stoked outrage. Medical school dean Mary E. Klotman apologized to Neely's students in a letter and said the Duke's Office of Institutional Equity will investigate the incident. Institutional equity. Wow, there's a department to head.
Well, you're not allowed to head it, that's for sure. Old white men need not apply.
Institutional equity. Describe that for me.
It's making sure that the whole institution is
equitable.
Fair and offering opportunities to all.
But how did she take anything away from anybody? She just suggested that it would be good if they worked on practicing their English while they were there. Now, if they're going back to China, and I mean, how do they
maybe
get
they
taught?
Are committed to learning English. She doesn't know anything about what they
do
the rest of the day.
If they are being taught in Chinese, that's one thing. But if they're here and being taught in English, which I assume is how they're being taught, the more they understand it, the more proficient they become. Have you ever gone to a doctor whose command of the English language was not maybe as good as it could have been?
Well, I think what the university is saying that we need students from all over the world to get our numbers.
Well, you know, it's declining now.
Right. So we need students from all over the world to get our numbers. So Chinese students, welcome. If you're going to need English to participate in our English-speaking classes, but when you're in the common area talking to your friends who may also speak Chinese, you can speak whatever language you want.
Well, sure. No one was taking that away
from
them.
That's what the university is saying.
And she didn't say that you couldn't do it. She just encouraged them to use English 100% of the time.
If the university thought for a moment that they'd get more money if they restricted Chinese speaking on campus, they'd have done that in a heartbeat. You know, if the...
Boy, you're cynical.
The Admonitional Foundation had set up we'll give you $1 every time somebody speaks a foreign language to another foreign student on campus. Well, I remember when I was a student at Penn State, and it's grown exponentially since then, you would hear 100 different languages over the course of a day,
I'm sure
or they
would.
Seemed like they were, you know, some might have been common, but, you know, people from different countries would speak to each other in their native tongue all the time. You wouldn't think anything of it. It's not like there used to be an old adage that if you heard somebody speaking in a foreign language, you thought they were talking about you. You know that.
Only if you're paranoid, Mark.
Right. Are they talking about me again like that?
Yeah, I understand you used to worry that when they went into a huddle on the football field, they were talking about you.
What are they saying? Yeah, that's what the coach thinks. What's wrong with Coach? Why is he doing that? All right, well, we have open phones right now. We're fresh off Tom Brokaw's apologies, apologizing about his remarks about assimilation. The other point about he heard from some individuals who are Hispanic that they're concerned about brown babies. He repeated that.
No, they aren't Hispanic. They're concerned about having
brown babies. All right, they don't want assimilation.
And grandbabies, it said.
All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you today. We have Duke University issuing an apology on behalf of a former administrator who admonished students over speaking English in a school building. 1-800-795-9565. And you got to be bilingual to take the U.S. citizenship test. The civics test can be done in your native tongue, but there's a government test that has to be done, or a different test that has to be done in English. To that end, one of our listeners sends us a note. Joe.
There are exemptions for certain people to the English requirement. Googled it. It would most likely benefit many older 50-plus people that have been here for 20 years and have never applied. There are other exemptions as well.
All right, so certainly it's an exception that somebody would come to the U.S. and not be required to take some of the citizenship test in English. 1-800-795-9565. And we got a text from one of our local listeners who said the reason some ballots have Spanish on them is because they want 100% clarity about every word on the ballot. So as I said in passing, there's only 100 words. They should be pretty clear, but I guess other words are maybe like a ballot question or something like that.
Well, they don't make it clear to me if they're in a second language. I only read the one.
And you're not even 100% clear at that.
No, I'm not.
Lance, you're on the mark.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
Why? Anyway, if you think that Hispanics are really assimilating, you need only go to Hazel. And I'm not kidding you. That's amazing.
What's happening? So these are individuals who aren't citizens in Hazleton?
What's that? I don't know. What I'm saying is speaking English. I don't know if they're citizens or not.
Well, are you saying that's a good example of assimilation or a poor example of assimilation?
Poor example.
How so?
Well, if you go in anywhere, there's more people speaking Spanish than English. Matter of fact, I think they do it on purpose.
Just to get the former congressman's goat, the former mayor's goat.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, and to get you as an American. I'm absolutely positive that's what those guys were doing.
Okay.
And I believe one of the other callers goes up there, I guess, a lot, apparently, said the same thing. And I believe NPR had a thing on that, too, but...
I need you to speak up just a little bit.
NPR had one on that, too. And I don't, did their usual of going over the top, not really looking at what was going on.
Okay. But that's not why you called. Go right ahead.
Well, really, assimilation, that's it. I don't know how they're going to assimilate. What they're going to do is create a permanent underclass. You say, if you don't learn the language in the country you're in, your chances of really getting a decent job are rather diminished, are they not?
Well, unless you happen to start up or work for a company that most people speak Spanish in the whole place, I guess that could be a good job, right?
Well, yeah.
But as soon as you leave the enclave of Spanish-speaking company or Spanish-speaking town, then, of course, you're going to have to speak English.
Yeah, well, permanent underclass are great Democratic voters, aren't they?
Well, in the past, yeah, but I don't know that they're reliable anymore.
Oh, I don't know. I'd like to see a study done of how many Hispanic males are Democrats versus Republicans.
I like to think of the underclass as the superior class myself, but That's just me.
Yeah, I know.
That's the way it is in Marktopia.
I'm the underclass.
Marktopia, right. Everybody's happy and nobody's hungry.
Thank you, Lance. Thanks for calling in.
Anyway, I'll think that the left end of the spectrum is really serious about racism when they abandon the Margaret Sanger Award. I mean, that is a glaring thing, like the old proverbial in the punch bowl. I mean, it's terrible. You look at what that woman did.
They abandon the Margaret Sanger Award?
When they do.
I got you. Okay.
They're serious about racism.
Gotcha. All right.
As it stands, I can't see how they are.
Noted. Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate the call. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Thanks for waiting a short time. Tom, you are on the mark.
Okay. I'll brought up about abortion. You guys were talking about it last week. Now, it was reported on your show last week that there were 60 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. 60 million. Is that right?
Well, that doesn't sound all that far off. We sort of quibbled over the precise number, but you're not...
All right.
You're in the right region.
Okay, so if you wouldn't aborted those 60 million babies, you would have 60 more million people in this country, wouldn't you?
Well, more than that. A lot more than that.
I know more than that. Now, listen, man, you got 60 million people to start off with because you didn't abort them.
Well, you need an algorithm to figure out.
Now half of them are probably going to be females. Now, assuming that each one of them have an average of three kids, some of them might have eight, some might have two, some may not have any. Well, we'll just say some of them, that for an average, that's three people. So 3 times 30 million is 90 million. Added that onto the 60 million that weren't aborted, now you have 150 more million people in this country right now, which is almost half of what we have already.
But Tom, the more people that are
now
born,
people are going to reproduce.
Tom, the more people that are born also means there are more people to die. So, I mean, it kind of balances out in the end.
But these people, these 150 million people would all be, the people that were born out right after Roe v. Wade would only be in their 40s or maybe 50 right now.
They wouldn't have all been born at the same time.
Well, you would still have, come on, Joe, you would have a lot more people. You would have hundreds of millions of more people. You can't talk your way out of this.
Okay,
well,
I
know you're going to try to twist it.
I'm not trying to twist it.
But you're going
to
have hundreds of millions of more people. You are.
Are you saying then abortion should be used for population control? That sounds Nazi-like.
I'm saying that's the consequences these people call up, like Al and Lance. And you know what? Al and Lance are the people that vote for Republicans who say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, get a job, and there aren't jobs. Everything's going to automation. There are no jobs. They send the jobs overseas so they don't have to pay people. What are you going to do with all these people? Things are bad enough right now. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with a couple hundred million more people?
Well, then what are we going to do about the people streaming across the border illegally? They're adding to the population, too.
Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about abortion right now. That needs to be stopped, too.
Okay.
But that's a different subject.
But it's the same subject in terms of the number of people that are causing a problem that you're describing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. There are more mouths to feed.
There's supposed to be like 11 million people in this country that came here illegally right now, they said. Well, you're going to have a couple hundred more million people without abortion. You're going to have a couple hundred million more. You're going to have a lot of people with no place to work, and they're going to have to be supported. And people like Lance and Al that vote for the Republicans and do not want to do anything, they're going to be complaining and crying about it. Well, you shouldn't have had it if you didn't want it, and this and that. And then they're against birth control. So what are you going to do?
Well, I mean, if we have a population problem, we have to deal with it.
Well, you're going to have a population problem if you don't allow abortion. Well, people, in the first place, you're never going to stop abortions. I don't care if you make a law anyway. You can make all the laws you want to make about stopping abortions, and they're still going to have them. So that's another thing. I mean, they bring up, well, abortion should be outlawed. Well, you're never going to stop it. It's like trying to stop guns. You're never going to stop people from getting guns. You're never going to stop people from having abortions. I don't care what laws you make.
Shouldn't there be some common sense rules about it, just like there are about gun control?
Well, there should be, but what are you going to do to people that don't obey it? Put them in jail?
Look at New York. What do you think about Governor Cuomo signing that bill that allows abortions almost up to the day you're born?
Well,
is that good?
It's not my business. I'm pro-choice. It isn't my business.
All right.
It isn't my business. I don't think it's your business.
Well, I'm sorry, but it is my business if a child that's completely viable outside the womb is aborted.
I thought you Republicans were conservative. You didn't want a government interfering in your lives.
Well, I think there's a difference between interfering in your life. You know, so if you want to commit a murder and the government stops you, that's interfering with your life, too.
Wow. You guys, you right-wingers, you got all kind of angles, you know, and I just don't vote for you guys. Just, you know, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites, as far as I'm concerned.
How so? You know, you call us a name like that. Now, why are we hypocrites?
There we go.
Because you're for abortion. You're not for abortion. You don't want abortions, but you don't want to do anything for anybody. Well, we gotta cut the taxes for the rich people, but then we gotta take away food stamps. We gotta take away medical care. We gotta take away all this stuff because we can't afford it. Because we have to give all the money to the rich people.
Right.
And then you want to have all these. Then you want to stop people from having abortions. You want to have all these babies, and there's no way to support them. There's no place for them to work.
Oh, and you want all of
them. That's hypocritical.
You want them all streaming across the border for free. That's hypocritical.
No,
too.
I don't. No, I do not.
Oh my gosh.
No, I do not want them come across the border for free.
All right,
you support Governor. You support the wall that President Trump wants to build.
I'll let each of you.
No, I support drones. I support cameras, and I support things like that. We have a wall.
Okay.
I'll let each of you use one more talking point.
Tom, go.
And I will in a second.
Okay.
I'll let each of you use one more of your favorite talking points, and then we got to go. Go ahead, Tom. You go first.
That's all my favorite talking points.
Those are them. All right.
Hey,
thank
Tom,
you so
thanks
much.
For calling. Always fun to talk to you. Take care.
Really appreciate it. All right. We got to take a quickie break. We shall be back shortly. But first, I want to let you know that the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line is open for business, and it's sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. These are hometown businesses. We call them hometown because they're near your home and they're in your town, and it's an opportunity for you to buy local. And we always remind everybody, every dollar spent locally gets spent locally 10 times over. You can support a lot of different people and businesses in your community when you start at a hometown pharmacy. That employee or the owner takes that dollar and they go down the street to another local business, maybe a restaurant, or maybe they're supporting the fire company or the churches or the other charities or the ball teams, or maybe they're taking that dollar and they're supporting your local racetrack, or they're supporting the local community center,
local
whatever
racetrack.
Well, you know, I'm just saying that your dollar keeps rattling around in the town if you keep it local. If you send it to China, it doesn't help anybody around here. So this is an opportunity for you to help folks. All you got to do is go get it started at the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy.
January, February, March, April, May, June, July, and August, September, October, November, December. Those are the months of the year. What's with making resolutions, whatever they're called, only at the beginning of the year? Grandmom says there are 12 whole months to make changes and that everyone should start simple. She told her friends at her yoga class how simple it is to get their prescription switched to our hometown pharmacy. Then they won't waste hours hours waiting in line. There's a good revolution. Don't waste time.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today. Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Norrie Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trotz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And the Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Did I say revolution? I meant to say resolution. Oh, you heard what I meant to say. I wonder if any of my friends made resolutions. And what's with old Lang Syne? This kid wants some new Lang Syne.
Ah, this is upbeat, happy break music. Thank you so much, Rob Center, super producer. Very
depressing music. Let's have some depressing music.
Why are you depressed today?
No, it's a depressing topic. Killing people.
Who's talking about killing people?
We're talking about abortions. Isn't that killing?
All right. 1-800-795-9565. One of our emailers says, I am really amazed that the folks still have their panties in a bunch about Roe v. Wade. It's been the law of the land for almost 50 years, says Margaret, who also says to Joe, stop changing the subject on the callers. Oh, that's Joe's speciality.
Well, come on. Let's face it. I mean,
twisty-turny Joe.
Tom has his opinion, but he's talking about, he's saying that having those 60 million additional people would have caused a problem. And then he says that 13 million or 10 million people streaming across the border is not a problem. So why is one a problem and one not?
Al, you're on the mark.
I'm back, liberals. Anyways, I write some stuff down before I even say it. That way, when you say stuff, at least you looked at it once or twice. And while I was on hold there after I got invited to call by somebody, I wrote down most of the abortions are on young, healthy women, and they're going to be young, healthy children, which are always good things because they're gifts from God. And if they're not born, they're lost souls. And, you know, a lot of lost souls, those souls always end up in one place, heaven or hell. And if anybody's ever been involved in an abortion, I'm sure it comes back to their thoughts. And they may have some regret. Like maybe their children will never see the brother and sister that they might have had. That might have did this and might have did that for them.
Okay.
It's just they aren't thinking about it. They're gifts from God. They're all our brothers and sisters. And it kind of sounded like China. It sounded like he is all for, you know, I'm not saying he or anybody that thinks like he's thinking is thinking the wrong way. I don't want to judge anybody, but there's only two places to end up in eternity. And if you think it's okay to wipe out babies just to keep the population down, he's, you know, playing the wrong tune.
Yeah, then next we'll be doing it for birth defects.
Like,
I mean, that's what Nazi Germany did.
Exactly, and that's what they're doing in China now. I mean, and we're going to soon approach, they talk about the communist number of how many millions died to make the socialist countries like SSR and all these places, USSR. And
well, let's think about it this way.
We're almost approaching that number with our birth control, so who's worse?
Think about it this way.
I mean, at least they gave them a chance to be born and fight back.
Hello, Al.
Yeah.
Look at it this way. I hear so many liberals saying that a society is judged by how it treats those among us who are most vulnerable. Who is more vulnerable than an unborn child?
Oh, my God. If we don't speak for them, nobody else will. And anybody wants to think ill of me because I'm speaking for young children that are not born, God bless them. I'm praying for them. I prayed for Tom right before I came on here. And I'm not just BS on all that. That's what gives me the courage to say what I say and do what I do. And if he really thinks about it, I mean, I can feel the Holy Spirit pounding on me right now. And I don't know what I'm going to say now, but he really ought to think about going on the radio and talking like that because he's not in China.
But it is. I mean, whether we like it or not, it is the law of the land, and it is.
So what? The law of the land is wrong. And
well,
Jesus
that
said,
may be.
Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And if you want to render on your soul to Caesar, go ahead. Follow that law.
But not everybody believes that. I mean, in the end, they'll have to justify
themselves. That's why we pray for him every day, Joe.
We want everybody to believe that. We want everybody to live in the light and the truth and the way.
All right, but what
it's
I'm saying to you is
better way.
That some people believe that a woman has an absolute right to choose what she does with her body. And that
well,
if she chooses not to have the child, then that's her choice. I look at it and say, okay, in certain circumstances, I would agree with that, like rape, incest, or the health of the mother. I would make those exceptions. Some would not.
That could all lead to mental health. So now, with my, and over time, I evolved.
It could lead to mental health. What does that mean?
The other ones that you mentioned were no good. But it is mental health. If you have a rape baby, that can be mental health. But there's another alternative they can pray and get healing and maybe give that baby to somebody else. It's not that baby's fault that he came into the world that way. I don't think we have the right, and the same with the death sentence, I don't think we have the right as American citizens or any citizens of this world to be judging people to the death. It's just not our right.
All right, we got you, Al. Thank you so much for checking back in.
Bye.
Really appreciate it. 1-800-795-9565. We're going to take a quickie break. We are talking about Tom Brokaw's remarks, and somehow we got into a pro-life discussion.
Well, we started discussing Governor Cuomo signing that bill in New York, which allows abortions in the up to the moment you're born.
We're going to bone up on the New York law. We're going to keep talking about that. We're talking about assimilating into the U.S. and a population in the U.S. that would be, what, 50 to 60 million more people if we hadn't done any abortions in the U.S. since Roe v. Wade. So, I don't know, it's hard to say how many more people would be in the U.S. At least 1 million per state if there's 50 states and 50 million abortions.
Well, there's a sad statistic there that Tom ignored, and that is that some of those women would have chosen to get illegal abortions outside the country.
Mm-hmm. Well, X number of abortions were occurring prior to Roe v. Wade. They used to just call it a DNC, and they'd let it go at that.
Yep.
On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Well, what do they got at Sunbury Motors Company? Haven't been there in a while. Sunbury Motor Company? Well, first of all, they got the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles there. Inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen so your tires last longer and run cooler and lose less air in the winter. They are open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 to 2 p.m. They got hundreds of vehicles on the new car lot. They got dozens of vehicles on the used car lot. They got Ford F-150s and all the cars in between, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. They got a master towing service, body shop, car wash, you name it. If it has to do with vehicular travel, they can take care of it. At the Sunbury Motor Company, if they can't fix it, they'll trade it on and trade it in on a Ford. And that's the best way to go for everybody. Sunbury Motor Company, sponsor of the On the Mark Talk Show. Join us right now with your conversation. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Oh, Rob Center's got great bumper music today. Very much appreciated. We have a couple of open lines, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. We have an email in basket that has a couple of emails in it. Here's one of them, Joe.
One of them says, rape and incest, health of the mother. I kind of question if rape and incest are gifts from God. Roe versus Wade will be overturned, and we will see coat hanger abortions, something many of your callers are not familiar with.
All right, Margaret, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. First thing I want to tell you is you're on a speakerphone for me because I could hear better, but that makes it almost impossible to interrupt me. Okay? You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, great. I call in when the email gets too long, and I'm not exactly sure of some of the callers' names. Al is the one that said the only choice is heaven and hell. Is that right?
Yeah,
so
for
that's
the
where
lost
they
souls.
Wind up, yeah.
For the lost souls, yeah.
Yeah, well, there are many, many people who do not agree with him. There are many people who don't even, who really doubt the existence of God, all right? And it's not something that, I was born and raised Catholic. I was told there was a God, but there's some doubts in there. So, anyway, not everybody believes in heaven and hell, and not everybody believes a child is a gift from God. That's the first strike against it. And you're calling these, want to say something in there?
Nope,
okay.
Nope, go ahead.
So you're calling these unborn children. They're embryos. Okay, there's some big fancy name. This embryo wouldn't be where it is without the mother. It's that body that's keeping it alive. I firmly, firmly believe it is not a person until it breathes on its own. Okay, when it breathes on its own, you do everything. Okay, at that point. This real late-term abortion, like, oh, my goodness, that's horrible to think about it. I do not know the details. And it's something that has to be done by a woman and her doctor, not something you go out to the drugstore and buy a drug for. So that's the third choice on that. All right? Anything in there?
Nope. Go ahead. We're just enjoying the conversation. Go right ahead.
I know you can't interrupt, so I have to give pauses for you to interrupt.
Nope. This is working out great.
Okay, wonderful. And, you know, the pro-choice people and the anti-choice people. We all have the same thing. We all love children. We all, you know, want to, you know, our natural instinct is to procreate. So I think that's everything. The one thing I do want to say about Al, that I disagreed with most of what he said, as you could imagine. But the one thing I really liked about Al was he said not only is abortion wrong, but so is the death penalty. Because the people who say death penalty is okay, but abortion is wrong, they really, it's like, really? Really? I just can't understand that one at all.
Well, I'd be happy to explain it to you.
Huh? Oh, here we go. Joe knows all. Go ahead, Joe. Why is the death penalty okay?
Well, the death penalty, someone forfeits their right to live of taking another life.
Damn it, I can't interrupt. All right, do I have the phone again?
Yeah.
You change the subject again. Please don't do
you
this.
You brought it up. I just responded to what you said. Don't accuse me of changing the subject.
I didn't ask your opinion. Okay, this is my call. I did not ask your opinion. I know your opinion, okay? So please don't interrupt me. All right. Well, that's one thing I really liked about Al, all right? And I think that's everything.
Thank you so much for calling.
Then I hardly interrupted you if you were done.
All right, now I am done, Joe.
All right, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate it, Margaret. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll take more comers.
Tom says, the hypocrites are full speed again. Pitiful.
All right, and this one, go ahead, the text.
Says, of all those babies killed, who would have been the doctor who found a cure for cancer? Who would have been the politician who would have brought peace in war, in war-torn countries, etc.? That's signed Joe from Mifflinburg.
All right. Lance, you're on the mark. You get a minute of fame. Go right ahead.
Okay. Why, I'd like to remind everybody who thinks that the longevity of a law means that it should be a law. Well, you know, the Second Amendment has been a law for almost five times as long as Roe v. Wade. And Mrs. Feinstein has so famously said, if it was up to me, Mr. and Mrs. America, I'd say turn them all in, right? So to that end, I believe that's what she's working for.
Turn what all in?
Guns.
Guns.
Oh, turn guns in, okay.
Yeah. So that just kind of what I'm talking about there.
Well, that might be what she's working for, but I bet most of us gun-toting Americans won't allow it.
Well...
You packing again today, buddy?
No, but if I were, I'll tell you what, I'd be waving it around.
I believe you.
All right. Thank you, Lance. We'll let you go. Lance is in shock. He doesn't know what to say. All right.
It was shocking to me, I'll tell you.
Ooh, I touched the screen and they multiplied. Emails.
Right.
Text.
One of them refers to our previous female caller. Wow, talk about someone being rude. Caller should look in the mirror, just saying. And then one of our listeners says, Tom has had way too much liberal Kool-Aid. And another one says, women have many means to prevent pregnancies, but if they become pregnant, they need to take responsibility and have the child.
All right. The 1-800-795-9565. We're going to talk a little bit about New York's abortion law when we come back. And that's where we've evolved this morning. In lay terms, they say it gives you permission to get an abortion up until the birth of the child. So we know that sentence about it, but what else can we say about it? We'll talk about that when we return. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We started out talking about Tom Brokaw's remarks about Hispanics assimilating in the U.S. and his lame apology. And what? Are you okay?
His lame apology.
Well, I mean, we've talked about this on the show before. Anytime you say, I'm sorry if my comment offended you, and then your other translator said, because I inadvertently spoke the truth, normally I keep the truth inside my head.
Are you allowed to say something that, you know, maybe offend somebody? I could say something that offended you. I'm sorry I offended you, but that's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that isn't what he's saying.
Okay.
1-800-795-9565. Then we segue nicely into the talk about abortion. Last week we talked about the MAGA hats and people who wear them. Are you somehow then in any way associated with the president and his racist or misogynist views? You know, has the MAGA hat become the latest symbol of that? And, of course, most of our listeners said absolutely not. So we appreciate those opinions. And now we're talking about abortion. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We're talking a little bit about abortion, and somehow we got onto New York's new abortion law.
Which is pretty reprehensible.
It allows abortion after 24 weeks, correct?
Right. The governor signed into law what a lot of people are calling the ghastly Reproductive Health Act. The legislation permits abortion up to 24 weeks of pregnancy when abortion is never medically necessary and when children born prematurely are routinely able to survive outside the womb with careful tending. And it creates lenient exceptions, essentially sanctioning elective abortion up to the moment of birth.
All right, 1-800-795-9565.
And, you know, there are calls for the Archbishop of New York to excommunicate Cuomo, who is a Catholic.
From the church. Well, the Catholics are as full as every church is of hypocrites that follow the teachings and those who don't. And hypocrites abound.
Well, if you believe abortion's a sin and this man is promoting them, I don't see how you cannot.
Well, if you're Catholic, you shouldn't wear the MAGA hat either then, because the church abhors racism and misogynism, but President Trump stands on
those. So
you can't
be a Catholic and support the president.
No, see, don't change the subject or put words in my mouth. I'm just saying, if you love the MAGA hat and everything the president stands for sexually assaulting women. He said so himself. That's his
really?
Main thing.
Really? What was his quote? Give me the exact quote.
Grabbing women by the privates?
That was when he was campaigning. I've never heard him say that he agreed with that.
Actually,
was
it wasn't
something
when he was campaigning. It was just being himself.
Well, that was before. Yeah, that was not even during
right.
the campaign.
Yeah, he inadvertently spoke the truth and was recorded.
So, in other words, when he in his madcap youth, he said some terrible things. You never did,
it's
right?
Only about 10 years ago. It's not that far back.
All right.
But in any event, yes, and he doesn't like rapist Mexicans. But in any event, his history is what it is. you love the president even though you despise what he says. Even though you despise what he says, but you love his economic policies, so that's fine. You're retired and you're living on your investments, so you need the stock market to keep going up no matter what, how reprehensible the president is. But if you wear the MAGA hat and you're Catholic, that's irony, in my view. So,
well, so what about a Lutheran wearing it? You're a Lutheran.
There's a few molecules of irony there, too. Okay. Not quite as bad as Catholics, because you guys are so much more outspoken on your ideals than Lutherans are allowed to have the argument within their head all the time about what church
as long as somebody
teachings.
Serves meatloaf, as you always say.
Well, and macaroni and cheese, too. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Thank you for being so patient, Leona. You are on the mark.
Yes. I'd like to talk about abortion. You know, Roe versus Wade, the lady who had that all started, turned around and became a Christian and realized how wrong she was. But it was a long time after all the millions of babies were killed. And a baby is a baby from the time of conception, no matter what that last person said. And the law of the land doesn't compare with the law of God Almighty. And God Almighty says, thou shalt not kill. That means don't kill anybody. But
right, so that means prisoners, right? No death penalty.
Exactly.
What about war?
Yeah,
what about war?
Well, you have to fight wars. If you read your Bible, you'd know that.
That you have to
fight wars sometimes. However, it doesn't matter whether the people believe it or not. That doesn't make it not true. The Supreme Court in 1973 was dead wrong. And someday they will pay unless they repent. And anybody that has anything to do with abortions, because it is murder. And if the woman that had started Roe versus Wade, I think she was the one that was Roe, she died not too long ago. But she became a Christian before she died and repented. But that's what these other people need to do. And that lady was just done there was very rude.
Who was that?
Margaret.
I don't know. I didn't know who she was.
What did she say that was rude?
She has a big mouth, and she's very rude when she gets on there.
Well, you calling somebody a big mouth is rude. But that's just my opinion.
I said big mouth and rude.
Gotcha.
She has both. But anyhow, I enjoyed the show today, and I agree with Alvin, or whatever his name is, Alvin.
Al from Northumberland, yep.
Yep, he's a good guy.
He's a working-class dog. You'd like him.
He has the right idea.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, and have a good day.
You too, Leona. Call again.
Thanks for calling in. All right, 1-800-795-9565. One of my listeners, who is smarter than I am, corrects me, says MAGA is not racist, but the fake news left has tried to push that false narrative.
Which was what you were doing.
I'm not pushing it. I'm just saying if you wear
the
hat,
you're the Eastern distributor.
You associate yourself with an individual who is racist. You wear the hat, you are definitely not necessarily racist yourself. All right, that's not a false news narrative. That I know people who wear the red hat.
Talk about somebody tap dancing around an issue. That's really, I mean, you're very light on your feet with that one, brother.
You can deny it, but the red hat has become associated with the president's worst viewpoints.
And you believe it's the new KKK hat? New white sheet.
It's the new Confederate flag, where you can definitely reserve a sliver of it for yourself and say, well, I wear it because I'm retired and I'm white and I like my investments and I want the stock market to keep booming.
I think you're personal, if you ask me.
Well, I'm going to be a white retiree 5 short years from now. So you can hold that and say, that's why I wear the hat. But it doesn't really matter. To other people, the red hat symbolizes other things. Paul? You're going to be the last questioner of the day. We have a few moments left, so go right ahead. No, we have a minute left.
Okay. The only person or the only thing that has the right to commit abortion is God, and he kills people at random.
He does?
He does.
Yes, he does.
You mean he doesn't have a plan or doesn't have a theory, just says, okay, I'm going to take so-and-so
today. Well, he doesn't have a number system like the draft and says, I'll pick out a number, and this is the number that's going to go.
I would like to think God gave it a little more thought than just randomly deciding 27 people are going to die this minute. And then flipping a coin to see which 27 it is. I'd like him to have a little bit more, thought into it.
I like last week's joke, God knows the number of hairs on your head, which, of course, in your case, required less counting.
Right, yes.
We're going to hold
on to
that.
I'm going to get that Capellas hat you put on with lasers. It grows hair.
Oh, jeez. You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.